Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this service, whether you're in church, on Zoom, whether you're a newcomer or somebody who comes regularly, and a special welcome to our friends from Cowley Road who are joining us today. We hope you'll join us for coffee and conversation in the hall after the service. Just follow everyone through those doors there. The funeral of Colin Saunders will be held on Friday, the 22nd, at 11 o'clock, with refreshments afterwards in the hall. My name is Joanna. I'm one of the stewards here. And our service today is led by my colleagues among the stewards on a Celtic theme, and we hope you will enjoy that. So, thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Joanna, and welcome everybody. As today was St. Patrick's Day, I rather thought a Celtic theme would be appropriate. There's a Celtic theme. And it's also Passion Sunday, which we should also note. So I'm sorry about the sort of mixing of two themes, but I think you might get used to it. Thank you very much. And we are here to worship the Lord. So let us begin with a call to worship from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with praise. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us sing hymn 139 in Singing the Faith. Today I awake, and God is beside me.
A prayer by David Adam.
Times and Seasons, Modern Prayers in the Celtic Tradition. Lord, you are in this place. Fill us with your power. Cover us with your peace. Show us your presence. Lord, help us to know we are in your hands. We are under your protection. We are covered by your love. Lord, we ask you today to deliver us from evil, to guide us in our travels, to defend us from all harm. Lord, give us now eyes to see the invisible, ears to hear your call, hands to do your work, and hearts to respond to your love. Amen.
Doing. Can the young people come up here? Is that all right? Bring what you've been doing. I set them a task before the service started, but they seem to still be doing it. let's see how you've done. Have you got any drawn? Bring them up. You can carry on drawing up here if you like. Brilliant. Do you want to bring what you've done with you? That would be lovely. Right. I still feel a bit lonely. Oh, well done. Got someone completely not doing what I've asked. This is just normal, so it's fine. Right, let's have a look. Come and sit down, and it's not so worrying, isn't it? Right, let's have a look. So I set the children the task to look at a circle and to think about what that circle could represent and to do a drawing. So, let's have a look. Oh, lovely. I love it. So we've got a picture of the Earth, a picture of the Moon, which is not made of cheese, it turns out, and a picture of Alice. Lovely. Well, maybe not Alice. And what have we got here? Oh, is that what I think it is? Is that a donut? We've got...
green donut with sprinkles. Sorry, I'm just flopping. Let me click it over here. A green donut
with sprinkles. And what's that? A football.
And what's this?
Is that the...
Thank you. Is that better? Wow, we have got
an open mouth with teeth. And that's a little bit frightening. Which is this one with loads of little, what's that?
Another mouth.
But another mouth, but a slightly more frightening one. Good gracious. You've come up with amazing things. Well, I wanted to tell you about someone called St. Patrick, because it is St. Patrick's Day. That may have already been mentioned, but I was slightly late in. And St. Patrick was a Christian who went to Ireland in the 5th century, which is a long time ago. And it was such a long time ago that the people in Ireland had never heard about God. And they didn't know about Jesus. They had never heard about God or Jesus. But because all of us humans have a God-shaped bit of us that needs to be filled, the people of Ireland had looked around them and they'd seen God's glory in creation. And they had thought, wow, look at the sun. That is so amazing. Let's worship the sun. And so they had a symbol, which was a circle. And the circle represented the sun. And it was something that they used as worship. They'd carve it. They'd draw it. They'd put it on their stones. And it was something very special to them. Now, when St. Patrick came, he saw the circle. And he said... do you know what? The sun is amazing. Well, he might not have said this. I'm imagining what he might have said. So he said, the sun is amazing. But do you know what? I know the God who created the sun. The God who created the sun is so much more amazing than the sun. And he took their symbol and he did this to it. He put a cross over the top of it. So we had something that they recognized from their past, but they had something new that they'd learned about God as well. And the other thing that he said was that this circle reminds me of God, the circle you've already got, because the circle has no beginning and no end. And that is how amazing God is, that there is no beginning and no ending to God. There is no beginning and no ending to God's love. If you have a look around, I've got a couple of Celtic crosses. Let's have a look. Here's one. This one was donated to the church by a minister we had a few years ago called David, who was from Ireland. So there's a Celtic cross. Can you see the circle? And here is one from Iona. And Iona is special because people from Ireland went to Iona and took the news. So the story of God's love was spread from Ireland to Scotland. And then this one, I just found in my office. They're all over the place. You just look for them.
And there's one up there.
There might well be, or you will see circles and crosses around. Yes, if you look in the windows, there's all kinds of things, aren't there? It's really worth keeping your eyes open and having a look. But what I love about this story about St. Patrick is the fact that St. Patrick took something that people already knew and was special to them and meant something to them, and he was able to use that to explain God to them so that they could understand. So let's pray together. Loving God, help us to be confident enough to share the message of your love with those we meet, and help us to explain that message in a way that people can understand. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Mel. And we bid our young people farewell for now by saying, "The Lord be with you."
And also
we're going to sing together, "The King of Love My Shepherd Is," and I have to confess that I forgot to put the number on the service sheet. So it is 479, but if you've got a tune book, the tune is St. Columba, for a reason which will become evident in a minute. "The King of Love My Shepherd Is."
Thank you.
and feel comfortable. Today is Passion Sunday and also St. Patrick's Day, and it was the idea of St. Patrick that drew me into the theme. And as Mel has just explained, he was a 5th century missionary to Ireland who later became a bishop there. He is credited with bringing Christianity to parts of Ireland and was probably partly responsible for the Christianisation of the Picts and possibly the Anglo-Saxons. Some of his story is a bit folk legendy, pirates, clover leaves, but he did leave two substantial pieces of writing that give us an insight into his thinking. And I learned from the Radio 4 service this morning that the people he was dealing with had a great reverence for the number 3, which didn't actually play to disadvantage in his teaching, the clover leaf. But the tune St. Columba reminded me of St. Columba, who was a century later, and he brought the gospel to the north. And St. Columba's reading of Christianity was different from that which St. Augustine subsequently brought from Rome to our shores in the south. And that was in 595 AD, as I was taught in school. And I remember being taught that actually there weren't any Christians around at that time, and St. Augustine did it all. This is obviously not quite correct. Apparently the Roman clergy said, "Do as I say," and expected to be obeyed. And the Celtic clergy said, "Do as I do," and hope to be followed. And this is one of the aspects, I think, that makes the Celtic Christianity rather attractive to us and perhaps helps us to understand the revival of the interest in Celtic Christianity, which sort of resurfaced in the previous century, didn't it? Lots of people took an interest. Iona became very important. The Northumbrian community became important. Columba's emphasis was on the integration of body and soul, sacred and secular, worship and work, prayer and politics. And it's quite significant that his successors in the Abbey of Iona back then were Benedictines, with their ethos that work is prayer and prayer is work. His vision was one which enfolded humanity in creation. The search for places where the veil between heaven and earth is particularly thin is what touches a chord here today, and particularly for today's environmentalists. His stress upon hospitality opened up that area where peace requires more than justice. The opposite of war is hospitality, it has been said, because by it we create space for another person, acknowledging their humanity and their needs, which is what conflict most acutely denies. His sense of the balance between the needs of the community and the individual, encouraging both personal spirituality and pilgrimage, and yet communities which elected their own leaders, chimes well with the modern sense of the church as the people of God go on their pilgrimage through life. Celtic traditions are very much to the fore now, as I mentioned, Iona, the Northumbrian community, and writers like David Adam, who gave us our prayer, and John Bell, making their prayers and songs and meditations available to us all. So I offer you a relaxation moment with a video of some Celtic music for meditation until we move on to our reading. Thank you. Thank you very much. Alison is going to read for us in a moment the passage for the day, which has been much explored all week in the Methodist Unbounded Love emails. I don't know if you signed up for an email a day from the church called Unbounded Love, but this week there was a lot of talk about this particular passage in preparation for today. Thanks, Alison.
Our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who lose their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice came for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out." "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
We continue our meditation on the Passion as the choir sings Stainer's "God So Loved the World," his setting of John chapter 3, verse 16.
God so loved.
Let us join in a confession using Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Amen. We're going to sing again from Singing the Faith, number 248, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
To our prayers of intercession, and there is a response as on the screen: renew the life of the earth. Let us pray. Because you, God, love the world, because in Christ you walked it, we dare to pray. God, send your Spirit. Renew the life of the earth. To connect the words of ancient scripture to the life of the world today, to let the urgent summons of Jesus surpass our reticence to respond, God, send your Spirit. Renew the life of the earth. To awaken the minds of those in power to the realities of those they govern. To confront the arrogance of the privileged with the vulnerability of the poor. God, send your Spirit. Renew the life of the earth. To engage the fragile state of the planet with those who carelessly abuse it. To let the pain of those who are hurting awaken the caring potential in the healthy. God, send your Spirit. Renew the life of the earth. To eradicate the distance between our convictions and commitments, our potentials and our performance, our prayers and our politics, our faith and our discipleship. God, send your Spirit. Renew the life of the earth. We spend a moment praying in silence for those and those concerns which are on our hearts. And we draw our prayers together with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our last hymn is a very favourite Celtic one. It's 545, Be Thou My Vision. During this hymn, we are going to collect our weekly offering, and please do not feel embarrassed if you haven't brought any money or if you give it a different way. Just pass the basket on and that will be fine. Be thou my vision.
Thank you.
gracious Lord, we offer our gifts and our time and all that we are in your service. Amen. And a blessing from the Iona community with a response. The cross, we will take it. The bread, we will break it. The pain, we will bear it. The joy, we will share it. The gospel, we will live it. The love, we will give it. The darkness, God shall perish it. The light, we will cherish it. So may God keep us in all our days. May Christ still the storms that rage in us, and may the Spirit bring us healing and peace. Amen.